to Talking with Dr. Tanovich on WHLI. I'm Jamie Morris, joined by Dr. Mahira Tanovich. Good morning.
Good morning.
So we are here today to talk about a topic that you say is huge and relevant right now, and that is the topic of fat grafting. And my number one question to start everything off with is, what exactly is fat grafting, because I've never heard this term before.
This is such a huge topic, as you mentioned, that we can be talking about these days and nights and we wouldn't exhaust the topic. Our own fat contains something which is called stem cells, and they're easy to reach. In old times, we would reach for bone marrow to get the stem cells. And then we learned in last probably 15 years more and more, and we learn every day about this. And luckily for all of us, we have a little pocket of fat somewhere we can spare in times of need.
I have a few here.
Me too. Don't worry about that. We're all in the same boat, I think.
So what is the actual process of fat grafting? What does it mean?
When you need the fat, and we're going to go to this a little bit later, how to access to fat, we just do simple liposuction. Everybody heard about liposuction before. We use the same device. We just, instead of discarding that fat, we do have containers to contain that fat, and a little bit of different technique and a little bit different conditions of liposuction. We have to make sure that the pressure is not high and stuff like this. But those are details that doctors should be aware, not the patients. And then we harvest the fat in a way of liposuctioning. Like, you have a pocket you don't like, I'll take it. It depends on my need. What am I going to utilize it for, and how much I need, I'm going to harvest according to this. And technically, I'm going to take fat from place you don't want it and you don't need it, and put it in a place where it's needed and it can be very helpful for us.
You and I have talked about this in the past. It sounds like something that is in a movie, that wasn't an attainable procedure. And now you're saying it is, and it's becoming more and more popular.
Correct. This is something I call it like a dream comes true.
Right.
Because, as I said, everybody has little fat somewhere. We need it in another spot. Another thing I have to clarify about fat, that we can use the fat. People may think, okay, fine, but then how can I use fat from my abdomen or my flanks and put it somewhere where it's tiny? When we harvest that fat, we do have ability through the different filtration system to make a fat a different size. It can be regular fat. Like, if you're trying to voluminize the area, you're going to use original size of particles. If you're trying to make a smaller particles, we have filtration system to make it micro fat, or to the point that we call this the nanofat. Nanofat is very important because it contains all we need from fat, which is progenitor cells and positive exosomes, which they're going to stimulate the tissue of recovery to propagate a new tissue. This is really future, I think, of so many things. And I remember when I was in medical school, people were saying that all disease is going to be cured on molecular level. And I think we are with this, we are approaching something like that. I cannot say all diseases, but problems I deal with, they definitely can be solved, most of them, with this.
Could you give me like an example of how you could use fat grafting to a particular issue that somebody might have?
Well, we can use the fat in order to voluminize certain areas, to rejuvenate certain areas, or kill a pain in certain areas. And I'm going to start from the head. Let's say if you're doing cosmetic procedure. I don't think anybody anymore does just a facelift. We all use fat to augment the face because we lose some fat getting old, and fat gets displaced. And in order to rejuvenate the face, you don't want to look like somebody else. You want to look yourself just younger. Then we're going to use all three type of fats. We're going to use regular fat, we're going to use a micro fat, and we're going to use a nano fat. How does this really play a game? Like, if I'm trying to rejuvenate your cheeks and get you volume, I'm going to use regular fat. If I'm trying to rejuvenate your skin and kill some lines on your face, I'm going to use a nano fat because it's going to work on the surface and it's going to rejuvenate your skin itself. You're going to rejuvenate your collagen. If I'm going to do volumen for your lips, I'm going to use a micro fat because I need the smaller particles. They shouldn't be visible. This is cosmetic part. And then we can really enhance your hands. Hands can use some volume, you know, and we can use fat for that. Believe it or not, some people are stating even if you have rheumatoid changes in the hands, after we transfer fat for rejuvenation in their hands, that get actually better. And I can believe in this because progenitor cells in the fat do have ability to be attracted toward inflammation. They can curb that. I'm not advertising using a fat to cure rheumatoid disease, but definitely can help. And in some countries, European countries, people are keen to use this and they use it for that.
So they're already doing that for arthritis. Correct. And rheumatoid arthritis.
Yeah.
When somebody wants to do a fat grafting procedure, do they choose where you take fat from?
Well, I didn't finish my first answer. Oh, okay. Like where we can use it. It's okay. I can just incorporate
it
in this.
My brain is going about 20 miles.
You know what? It's actually subject, and I just have to tell you, it's a recently published book with 149 authors from the world who contributed with the different applications of fat grafting. And this is such impressive. This is like a Bible for that.
Wow.
And I personally, in my practice, I'll tell you how I use it. I use it for, let's say, for breast cancer patients. Some people have reconstruction just out of their own fat. And this is amazing because in old times, we were not able to do that. We would reach for device for free flaps and stuff like this. But some people, this sometimes it's a hybrid. You use it with something and then, or you use it on its own, although those are pros and cons for everything. Then let's say for painful scar, we can use it. We can use it for burns. We can use it for a lot of stuff. Wow. But answer to your question, you ask me, does a patient choose? In a way, patient does choose, but it has to be accessible to me because I don't want to keep a patient on the table 3 hours longer because he wants me to take it from posterior of her thighs instead of from her abdomen if I'm reconstructing her breasts. I have to be mindful of adjacent areas, of her aftermath and how long it's going to be under anesthesia and everything, because everything takes support in making that decision. But definitely, I talk to patients and I just don't do harvest. I just finish that area as I'm liposuctioning them. And I try to not over harvest it because I really want to spare it if I need the next time to come back and take a more fat.
When you say you have to prepare the fat that you harvest, how would you do that? How do you make one type of fat into another type of fat?
We have just the different filters.
Okay.
And we know that, let's say, fat which is 2.4 millimeters or 1.4 millimeters falls in one category of a size, obviously. This is like physical filtration. And we have these filtrating systems which we buy. And then we have another fat which goes 1.2 millimeters or less. At that point, this is none of it, just loaded with these progenitor cells for rejuvenation. And when I'm saying rejuvenation, I'm talking about repairing certain stuff which people were not able to repair before. Like if you have certain fistula, we can do intimal repairs in certain diseases and stuff like this. This is a lot of use in a good and knowledgeable hands. Patient can benefit from this very much so.
I see microneedling here as one of the benefits. How does that all work?
You know what? Actually, we do have a certain stamps which we can load that little stamp with the nanofat. And I use microneedling at same time with nanofat to inject it in superficial areas. You know, if I want something to work in skin, like superficial skin deep to the dermis, I'm going to use a stamp. And instill with the stamp in all these areas. Like if I'm trying to correct, let's say, some hard scar. If I'm trying to correct some deep lines on somebody's face. Because this is going to go in your skin and rejuvenate your collagen and turn over your skin.
See, when you say stamp, my mind goes to like what my kids play with.
Something like that, except has a little container on top.
Huh.
And on the bottom is like really stamp.
Wow.
Which contains 24 needles. And one little button, when I press on the skin, this button goes in, release my nanofat through these holes.
But then also you could use it as an actual filler, like somebody who would get an actual face injection.
Correct. You can use this as in cosmetic reasons, by all means. And then you can do this for hair growth. Let's say in the baldness of a guy's, you can use a nanofat to stimulate new hair production. You can use it in rejuvenation of a face, rejuvenation of a hands, rejuvenation of your chest lines. If people need the breast augmentation, but they really are not going for the augmented look in terms of implants. You can use fat and augment their chest. You name it, we can use it.
Wow.
That's the beauty of it. And everybody, beauty of everything, of all this is that everybody has a spare pocket somewhere.
We sure do.
Which can be of use. And I keep saying fat is my friend, as long as it's not my body. Just kidding.
You can have all of it. It's okay. You know, what really perked my ears up before is you were talking about rejuvenating your hairline. You know, I know a lot of men especially are, you know, they'll get scalp right. implants or hair implants.
Right.
And that could very well be a thing of the past with this.
Well, yes and no, because we do have a different type and severity of baldness.
Mm-hmm.
But I have to tell you, a lot of people are complaining that their hair plugs didn't work. They didn't work because the area where they were placed wasn't fertilized. When I'm saying fertilized, I know it sounds crazy, but you have to have something which is going to make this friendly environment for hair plug to survive. Why did we lose those? Hair itself, right?
Why did the hair fall off in the first place?
Why it falls off? Because this is unhappy environment. And this is not environment for hair to grow. Then it goes away. If you see some type of baldness in a male scalps, usually, you're going to actually, if you see them from a profile, you may think that boomerang took the scalp off.
Mm-hmm.
And it tells you that the thickness of that area is totally different than the thickness of a hair-bearing area aside. And it tells you that this area should be replenished. How do we replenish this? With microfat. When you put microfat, in some people, this is enough. It stimulates growth. In some people, it's just prelude to put the hair plugs. But if you do that before you do hair plugs, then hair plugs going to work 100%.
It's like prepping the soil.
100% correct. I'm saying like a fertilization, right?
You're like you're treating
aerating
your garden.
And preparing 100%.
You need healthy soil.
And then people spend thousands of dollars doing plugs and they just don't work and then they're upset and I would be too. But then knowing how hair follicle actually anatomy of it, you're going to see that we have a little pouch of a fat gland with it. And then if you don't have this, you cannot really put the hair plugs there. They're not going to survive.
So now we're at our head. We did our face. Let's move on down.
Technically, we can replace, as I said, entire breasts, wow, which were taken because of a cancer. And when we started doing this, we had a dilemma since this actually, these progenitor stem cells, they do have ability to go where inflammation is. 15 years ago, we had dilemma, should we use this for cancer patients or not? Because we were thinking, if you have cancer cell, is this going to stimulate new cancer to grow? But study just came and then it proves no, this is not stimulating cancer by any means.
Okay.
But actually, I forgot his name and I'm apologizing. This is professor from, I believe, Lyon from France. He just came up with publication stating that incidence of breast cancer recurrence is much less in the patients who use the fat.
Really?
And we don't know why is that. I personally didn't read the study myself. I just heard him presenting this, and I have to go into it and really see what's science behind that. But this is very, very safe for everybody.
That's amazing.
And especially for irradiated breasts, this works like a charm because irradiation changes all these tissues, kills like microcirculation in the tissues, and it makes it unfriendly. But to revitalize those tissues, we need the fat grafts. I use this in my practice daily, and I love it.
There are a lot of healing qualities in these different kinds of fats.
All different sizes of fats do have same healing property.
I see.
Because they contain these stem cells, progenitor cells, which are attracted to the inflammation. And they actually are pluripotent cells. They can turn themselves in any tissue, wow, which need it be. And this is the beauty of it. If you have, let's say, long-standing scars from burns, you definitely can inject this burn with the fat grafts, obviously nanofat, and it's going to soften the scar. And if you put a little fat underneath, pain is going to be reduced. In some patients, resolved 100%.
How far away are we from this being a go-to, a primary treatment for all of these different things?
I think, unfortunately, we are not that close to it because it depends on the physician you go to. A lot of people are not, I'm not going to say trained into, but they're not familiar with this to the extent they should be. And then they're not even offering to patients. this is why I'm here today, to tell patients this is out there. Find somebody who did it, who knows what he's doing, and you're going to be happy camper.
But do you think eventually it's going to become more and more?
I believe so, because I think it's a future. As I said, this future, my God, I'm dating myself. When I was in medical school, we were talking about solving diseases based on molecular level. This is already happening, what we're doing right now with the fat.
Do you think some doctors are just very hesitant to try? You know, you can't teach an old dog new tricks.
It may be a combination of a lot. Some people get comfortable in what they're doing and they're just hard to adjust. Or I don't know. I'm very enthusiastic. I do this for many, many years. And I'm a member of International Association of Adipose Tissue Treatment. And I try to be part of new stuff and do this. And I want to tell you that all I'm saying is FDA approved for us. We can use fat to do this. We are not breaking any rules doing this. FDA approves us to use fat. We cannot just use any medications to dissolve fat. But other than that, as long as it's a physical, I would say, processing of a fat, go ahead and use it.
So this is FDA approved?
100%.
And there's still so few people that are actually practicing this.
Yes. And I'm going to be very honest. This is a small caveat to all this. You know how doctors are usually not relying just on ultrasound for some studies, because ultrasound is very dependent of a technician who's doing it. Same applies to people who are using fat. If you have any problems and if you are considering doing this, whomever you find, make sure that you ask questions of experience of doing this, how many patients they did, what is the biggest amount they transferred to one patient, and stuff like this. Because we do have limitations using this and where to put it and how to put it and stuff like this. Because I'm sure a lot of people heard about Brazilian butt lift, when we use a lot of fat to create a different look in the lower back and buttocks. And this is very scary procedure in a way if you don't know how to do it, because this fat should never go in a muscle. It should go in the zone where it's safe. Everybody who's considering should ask a doctor experience, numbers he did, and how he's going to do it. Just ask the details. Make sure that doctor you're talking to knows what he's doing.
That's always the number one rule when you and I talk, is make
100%
sure
correct. Am I a safety person or what over here, right?
Exactly. And sometimes I do think it comes down to people don't know the proper questions to ask.
You know, that's why I'm suggesting questions.
Yes. Yeah.
And it's good to know what to ask. And this is no embarrassing question, just to let you know.
Since it's not something that is super common here yet, who is listening would be a prime candidate to start looking for this?
Anybody who's looking for any kind of rejuvenation, because I use a lot of fat grafting and not doing facelift for patient, let's say, if it's not there, you know, in old times, anybody, any aging face will require just a facelift. But at this time, when we have a fat, you may not need that. And you may just get by with the fat grafting. Like for any type of rejuvenation, for any type of reconstruction, people who have painful scars, people who are looking to change certain parts of body, even people who have long-standing wounds, which are not healing, because healing property in the fat, you know. Those are different ways. I treat open wounds with that too. And this is really great. This is so wide range, especially for plastic surgeons important, because we are only specialty which we are dealing from reconstructing from a scalp to toe. And it can be very, very beneficial for us.
Is there a benefit to somebody who doesn't necessarily need any physical changes but deals with rheumatoid arthritis from an autoimmune disease that they have, but they're not necessarily looking for a huge physical change?
I do not have any information about that. I personally think that people with autoimmune disease may not be candidates for this.
Okay.
Because they have this inflammation, which is based on autoimmune means you're creating antibodies against your own stuff.
Right.
And then I think this may just stimulate that. That was a good kind of thing, that these patients won't be candidates probably for this. But like people who were born with, this is something which is called Romberg syndrome, which they have smaller side of a face. In old times, we would reach for some muscle to move it there. But these days, we just put fat there and we make it up for that. It's really revolutionizing medical field and especially plastic surgical field.
So what are the complications? We always have to go to that part. What 100%. Are the potential complications of fat grafting?
Real complications and the most severe complications of fat grafting, if you place it in a place which shouldn't be, like if you end up putting fat in blood vessel, but it shouldn't happen because before we put fat, we always aspirate, making sure that we are not in blood vessel. And then you can get some small oily cysts. You can get some fat necrosis. But this is all easy to deal with. It is very rare and it is in experienced hand. Anything except fat cysts or fat necrosis shouldn't happen.
I have a note here about the percentage of fat retained.
People usually say it stays about 50%. I'm very proud of my technique and I have to say I see that my retention is about 70%. I think retention of it, because whatever you put in somebody, it's not going to stay. Some of it's going to be absorbed by your own body. And we know mechanism how it gets absorbed, but I think healthy cells do survive. And how do we make sure that we have a more healthy cells than unhealthy is that you actually harvesting fat has special method. We usually do liposuction on negative pressure of millimeters HG, about 25 to 30. But when I'm harvesting fat, my pressure is much low. It's between minus 50 and minus 18 because studies are showing that pressure may damage your cell. You know, then techniques of harvesting, you don't want to use some machine which are actually melting your fat, then you're killing yourself. I don't think anybody does, but
right.
Those are specific ways of harvesting. I think they have a lot of stuff to help the survival of it. Another thing is patient's diet and patient's behavior afterwards. We know what good fats are and what you kind of, other rules are like, don't lose your weight or don't gain your weight when you're in process of salvaging what we put in you, you know. Those are kind of the little rules we tell patients what to do, what to eat. Like avocado is great, you know, like sesame oil is great.
All those healthy fats.
Healthy fats, about. Correct.
So that would be leading up to a procedure like this.
Yes, and after procedure
and
as
afterwards.
Well.
Yeah. Okay.
Because fat as a graft is not, we are transferring live fat from somewhere and putting it as a graft, not alive and living yet. It's going to survive based on revascularization of this tissue. But revascularization doesn't happen in 24 hours. I don't want to bother you with like physiology and pathophysiology, how everything survives or not survives. But we have something which everybody knows like about osmosis, when cells are taking from surrounding area the nutrients and stuff like this. That's how it starts. And then this is a microvascularization of it and then real vascularization and then it really becomes yours to live and stays.
You kind of touched on this just before, but when somebody has fat placed in another area of their body, should it last a lifetime? Do people tend to have to come back and have it readjusted?
Well, it depends what we use the fat for. And I have to tell, which I didn't say, that fat behaves as origin. We have to know this. Like if I'm transferring fat from abdomen to face, when patient is gaining weight, like in abdominal area, face may get a little plumpier.
Stop it. No.
Because these cells that have memory and yes. They do, obviously, they will not be obnoxiously, you will not grow cheeks.
Okay.
I don't want people to have a misunderstanding of it. But what I'm trying to say is that actually they have a memory and how long it lasts. Let's say I transfer fat to face in order to rejuvenate somebody's face. Aging process is there. Right. And you're going to be happy for 5-7 years, but aging process is going to continue. Right. Mm-hmm. You may need something else 7 years down the road or 5 or 10 years down the road, but you may be happy with what you have and you may not need anything ever.
Right.
It depends how you feel about yourself, because I think fat grafting can really bridge 7 to 10 years before you reach zone of facelift.
When you harvest somebody's fat, could they potentially come back years down the road and still tap into that?
We cannot storage fat, if it's
you
your
don't
question. We don't storage fat. Anybody's fat.
Okay, so once you do this procedure, that's
you have
that
to
fat.
Use it 100%.
Okay.
Because we do, although those are some banks you can send to them, I personally am not a big fan because my thing is, you know, I have to think about sterility, about handling. And, you know, as a surgeon, I think, if any surgeon listens to this, we're all little control freaks. We would like to have control of everything. And we know whatever I touched, I know how I touched it, where was it, and we have to have that safety.
Is it something that people would do multiple times? Would people go and have their fat harvested from other areas multiple times, put it everywhere else? It's okay to do?
It's absolutely okay to do. And I have to say that people who are going for reconstruction of a breast with only fat, they need to go in operating room 3 to 4 times. Wow. Till I reach really shape and size.
And again, that goes back to you want to be mindful of each position you might need somebody 100%. In as they're in the procedure.
Correct.
Any final thoughts on the future of fat grafting?
Well, I see fat as my friend in my practice, and it helps me to solve a lot of people's problems with that. And I would really advise people to look into it themselves. And I would really advise people to get themselves educated and explore that avenue.
Dr. Tanovich, thank you as always.
Thank you very much, and everybody enjoy Saturday morning.
I'm Jamie Morris. This has been Talking with Dr. Tanovich on WHLI. Thanks for listening.